Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. Then Paramatma Sandarbha Adhyayana 2 Vivinamshas of the Paramatma Jiva Tattva. Then page 44. Hence, by contact with Maya, the Jiva loses all his inherent intelligence and follows her dictation just like a man attached to a prostitute loses all good intelligence. Therefore, the Jiva, though has the capacity for knowledge, becomes ignorant and is conditioned by the Maya Shakti because of his aversion to the Supreme Lord. Like, see, he's averse because he wants to enjoy. So what is Maya doing here? It's mentioned like the prostitute. It encourages enjoyment, right? Because then by encouraging enjoyment, then you work hard to get the facilities for that enjoyment. And you keep yourself busy in this way, away from the Lord. Right? The Jiva's characteristics of self-revealing and consciousness-giving is elaborated next. The Atma is said to possess the quality of self-revealing since it doesn't depend on another entity for its revelation. Right? There's no material things that it depends upon. A material object does not reveal itself to itself, swamsai, since it is insentient, but the Atma reveals itself and other objects to itself since it is conscious by nature. Chidrupa. Though the Jiva is a form of consciousness, it gives consciousness to the body, just as light from a lamp illuminates things. This is illustrated in Srimad Bhagavatam as follows. The Atma, self-revealing, the observer, is different from the subtle and gross bodies, just as fire, the burning agent and illuminator, is different from wood, which is burned. Since the revealer, giver of consciousness, Prakashaha, is different from the revealed. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.10.8. Thus the Jiva is a self-revealer and a conscious giver. Right? Because he's conscious and through his own endeavors for self-realization, then he understands himself. The body doesn't have any part to do with that. Right? The body is engaged as a tool by the living entity to come to the point of appreciating their transcendental position. But it's not that the body itself produces, you know, like the one to say, oh, because it's the Brahman, therefore that, oh, it's motive goodness that'll reveal. These are all mistakes. Motive goodness won't reveal transcendence. Motive goodness brings you close, right? So that then you can get an idea. Just like if there's some dust on the mirror and you can kind of see yourself, you become inspired. And then you'll work to clean the mirror. Like that. So it has to be appreciated. The material energy, on no level does it reveal the soul. Right? It gives an opportunity that if you follow properly the rules and regulations, and that given by the scriptures, that you can elevate yourself. But the soul is separate from that. You know? That's our soul. And then Krishna, being the original source, he's the one that reveals himself. Does that make sense? Because point is just seeing, you know, we'll say, oh, no, but we see the soul, isn't that a big thing? And that's not a big thing at all. It's like figuring out who you are. Just like if I ask you, who are you? And then if you tell me, oh, I'm, you know, this or that, then is that a big deal? And everyone goes, oh, my God, here's, you know, God, oh, yeah, like that, you know, no. So that's the thing, is we're so enamored by the material energy Even on spiritual, she tricks us. So it's only with bhakti you don't get tricked. In devotion, then you can know things as they are, because Krishna reveals himself. But if it's only you're dealing with just the spiritual level only, without devotion, you're still tricked. Because then you think, I'm Brahman, I'm God, I'm this and that. And even if you understand I'm Brahman, you still don't know fully what you are. So you know you're a living entity and you're conscious. But unless you know I'm servant of the Lord, then what? It's a natural inclination, because that's the nature of the jiva. But it's not that that aspect itself is understood. That's only understood in the association of the devotees. You know, from hearing from scripture, from the devotees. Then we catch that. Because we one is on one side, we won't understand enough of ourselves, and on another side, we understand, you know, we impose too much. Like that. We think we're God, but at the same time, we don't even know that we're not the body.
Yes.
No, we're not the body, we're the soul, we're transcendental to that. But then there's the Lord, who's beyond that. He's the all-sentient one. Yes? No? Yeah.
It's complicated.
It's complicated.
Because if we think about it, you know, about the parinama or vikara, which is transforming, we say it's energies.
Mm-hmm.
But then it appears as when the jiva is covered by illusion, that the jiva is transformed. It loses its own nature and then it acts completely, you know, opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes, but that's also an illusion, because the soul does not become transformed.
Yes.
The soul doesn't become transformed. The soul is eternal. The soul is liberated. The soul is, you know, is effulgent as you know, so many suns. You know, like that. It's in his own, but it gets by a griel. It becomes covered by the material energy, because that's the alternative. We're in full consciousness and aware of Krishna and do service for Krishna. Or we don't want to do service for Krishna, so then we deny that aspect, therefore then we accept Maya's alternative. And she's quite happy to arrange that you think that you're the supreme controller and enjoyer. You know, it all comes down to that. So that's the thing, is that we're illusion on both sides. We don't know who we are. And in the mistake of self-realization, then we think we're God. When it's, no, we're the soul, and then God's God. We're part. He's the unlimited. You know, so potency is there. You know, that's Satchidananda, but it's 1/10,000 the tip of the hair of Satchidananda. But that's the thing, is that much Satchidananda is greater than the whole material whole material manifestation. So it's special. But at the same time, it only acts in its natural way when it's in line with the Supreme Lord. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the aspect that we have to be careful about. Is that the tendency is that we'll think that we make the mistake both ways. Like Lord Chaitanya was telling Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When we say that the living entity, you know, is part and parcel of the Lord, they'll say, no, this is all illusion. Right? Like that. It means you're not. The Lord is Brahman, and what we are is illusion. Then where we say is, then we're separate from the Lord, we're servant of the Lord, then you say, no, we're God, we're all one. So by the avidya shakti, we just get everything backwards. You know? So that's the thing. When we're dealing with, you know, how everything, you know, what's the reality of things, what it is, why it's here, how it's working, then the avidya shakti always makes it backwards. We think life comes from matter. There is no supreme. You know, even if God is there, he's not the one running it, we're running it. you know, like that. He's given it to us to enjoy. Yeah, he's given to enjoy because we're, how you say, we're cursed. That was the term used. You know? And so you want to be the enjoyer separate from God, then you get the material world to try to do that in. But the purpose, the why it's even created, because otherwise why does God have to create, go to so much trouble to make a material world? Not that it's actually any trouble for him. You know? But the living entities, because they're part and parcel of him, and you have an eternal relationship, he gives that opportunity. And then when you get tired, you come back to your normal position. So being in the material world is a temporary position, you know, but in consideration of eternity, that temporary can be a long time. So,
some argue that we actually didn't choose the covering. We just wanted to enjoy, as you mentioned. But then,
yeah. But then, that's that. What does that mean? So you say, I'm hungry. I want to eat. And then, if someone presents you with things to eat, and then you choose them and eat them, now you've been forced to eat this. You know what I'm saying? The point is people have to take responsibility. Is you decided to come here, and you're here. This whole thing of, well, I don't remember it, so it didn't happen. I mean, that's like kids. I don't remember that you told me I had to clean my room, therefore I didn't clean it, so what's the big deal? You know, these are childish mentalities. Very childish. You know, and the thing is, children you can deal with. Adults who act like children, they're very hard to deal with. So there's always that thing is, no, I didn't choose. Why are you saying you didn't choose? The Shastra says you did. You know? Like that. And that's being spoken, that's being revealed by the Lord. It's his breathing. You know, and it's being spoken in the different parts, you know, the smritis by the great sages. They're all beyond you know, the imperfect senses, making mistakes, cheating, and illusion. So they say it, that's the way it is. We are not. So therefore, we're cheating because the whole point, no, I have to be in a prestigious position at all times, all places, all circumstances. Therefore, I didn't choose. You know, because why would I choose? I'm such a fabulous individual. Why would I choose to come to the material world when I could be in the spiritual world? But the point is, that's the consideration. Did we notice in that whole discussion, was there any mention of Krishna and service to Krishna or pleasing Krishna? No. So that's the whole point. That's the illusion. And then it's, oh, but do we get to choose, you know, what if you know, I have that nature, but I want to be something else. But it's always about ourselves. It's not about pleasing Krishna. If you have an inherent nature and you can please Krishna with that, you know, so easily, what's the problem? So then is it a matter of prestige? You know? So is that what it's all about? You know? Oh, I want to live in Goloka because that's better than Vaikuntha. You know, I want to be in this rasa because it's better than that one. You know, it's all about ourselves. You know, so that's the problem. So when we see that this pride comes up in these ways, then it's not glorious at all. It can be a great stumbling block, you know, because the point is Krishna's God. He's not proud of it. It's just the way it is. And so he expects that his devotees can act on that transcendental platform with the same quality. And then you have community that you can then interact. Can you imagine each of the... What happened to the gopis? They were proud of their position, being the most fortunate girls in the I think, I'm not sure if it says universe or cosmos. But the point is it's true, 100%. But how did Krishna take that? He left. Because then it's about, you're about yourself, you're not thinking of Krishna. See, if Krishna is always thinking of you, wouldn't the natural reciprocation be we always think of him? So then how you'll have a relationship if we're always worried about ourselves? Of course, if you're interested, you know, because we want the conjugal, it's got to be the best, it's got to be the highest, but it's about ourselves, yes, then we can end up in Mathura. You know, that's, it's all about themselves. It's in connection with Krishna, but it's about themselves. The queens at Dwarka, it's half about themselves, half about Krishna. And then the gopis in Vrindavan, it's totally 100% about Krishna. So we have to catch, you know what the act reality is and what's being offered.
It sounds like I want the item, but I can't pay the price.
Well, it's I want the item, but I don't want to pay. I don't want to pay the price because you have the price. It's not. It's not that. It's like you have the money, but you just don't want to spend it. I want my goods and I want my money. You know. So then that's why we end up with thieves here in the material world. So it's just a matter of if this is constantly discussed, then people think about it. But if all we talk about is corporate and stuff like that, then who thinks about it? Corporate, they're the most puffed up people on the planet. You know, possibly even in the universe. But, you know, at least we'll just, you know, work with this planet. You know, don't want to push it too far. Because the whole point, they have money, they're proud, because there's a combination of passion and ignorance. So they have the pride to drive and all that, and the ignorance that they think that they're the doer and controller. So it's not a good position at all. You know, therefore you don't see any of the acharyas using it. Lord Chaitanya doesn't even want to associate with kings. You know? Like that. So the point is he associates with devotees. So then they're above all these things. So we have our own culture. We don't need to import a phony culture and somehow or another that's going to be the panacea.
The difficulty we've noticed is that any other culture than the traditional Vedic culture immediately appeals to the senses.
Yes.
So it's very tangible, it's very like practical. That's why devotees take it as a first option. And once you've taken it, you don't, like you mentioned, you don't think about anything else because this seems to be working, so you don't really have to worry about it.
Yes.
But then when we study Shastra, you know, example of the Acharyas, Bhagavatam, so it also makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
But that takes like years.
Yes.
And the first offer is immediate. It's like, okay, take it.
Yeah. But then that's why you have Shreyas and Prayas. Prayas will be immediate. But Shreyas is long term. So the point is immediate now. Okay, let us say by doing this you get facility, you get enjoyment, you get, you know, position, you know, you get respect, you know, you're the full Dhanam Janam Sundarim, you know, like that. You know, you get the whole caboodle, right? But the whole point is now when you get old, now what do you do with any of that? You're too old. You can't do the position. You want to keep it, but you're totally unqualified. And if you are still around, that's just because people are being a little kind and respectful. But actually, you don't deserve to be doing that work at all. You have to retire. And then, yes, you've done something so people will kind of take care of you and stuff like that. But it's not necessarily it's going to be with the same lavishness and the same, you know, respect and everything like that as before. You know, that's why then, you know, so then what are you going to do? Bhagavatam tells what happens. Everybody's standing around. There's 20 people standing there when the guy dies. And what are they all thinking? You know? All have different things to, you know, the ideas. And so the point is that's the reality. It's not, we'll think, no, my situation is different. That's the illusion. It's just, Maya, you know, one shoe fits all, you know. It's just like it works for everybody. And so therefore you go for that. Now at the end of life, now what? And because that's been your drive and desire and that's been your anxiety that you don't have, how is that you're going to, you know, in pure devotion now think of the Lord? So you can do that. You know, so mixed devotional service can be done, or Rupya Bhakti can be done. It's not a problem. And so, and you'll, you know, you'll get all kinds of nice benefits and everything like that. But then, where is that mentality? Because the point is according to the mentality, that's what you get. You know, whatever you're thinking of at the time of death, whatever the mental state is, that's what you take on. So if you want to be a devotee but still enjoy all material benefits and all that, then you need to be, you know, a demigod. They're the ones that think like that. as we see here by the Acharyas, they don't think like that. You know, all the great devotees that are respected in that, they never think like that. And so therefore, yeah, you can go to the heavenly planets and like that. And then come back here, take birth in, you know, aristocratic families, this, that, because they have the option for that. Be religious, but at the same time be absorbed in sense gratification. And so at what point will pure devotional service be taken up? So the even if we can't, as we see is in the that you know, in the prayers you have Danya Bodhika, where I feel unqualified, the Acharyas are saying, I'm such a gross materialist. But it doesn't mean that they don't hanker after pure devotion, even though they may consider by their own calculation that they're gross materialists, even though they're not. But you know, they're taking our position. And so therefore, yes, we may be attached and we may engage ourselves in that way, but our goal is pure devotion. We're trying to attain pure devotion. And so then we'll gradually move forward. But if we're thinking, no, all this and that's fine, then yeah, heavenly planets, the doors of the heavenly planets are open. Plenty of space. Right? No overpopulation. So it's just our choice. So if we want to stay here, we can. If we want to go back to Godhead, we also can. But the point is it's all on the mentality. Otherwise, if you want to control and enjoy, you won't like the spiritual world because no one will allow you to do that. Like Kamsa, right? He one day, you know, all these demons are he's sending to Vrindavan every day, and somehow or another they're not coming back. So he thinks, okay, let me go check what's going on. So he comes down that road, you know, from Mathura, you know, like on the Parikram path,
yeah.
You know? And so he comes down to that place, you know, where the Vyasadeva's Baitak is, where he wrote 10th Canto.
Yeah.
You know, that's just where you turn the corner. So he came down there. And just where that is, there's this little hill. There's a pond there. You never see it. Unless you know about it. But, you know, there's that little bit of a rise there.
Yeah.
And then you go around. Inside there, there's a pond. And that. And so that pond there is Purnimasi and the gopis were there and all that. And when Kamsa came along, Purnimasi, you know, he came in and, you know, where's this and that? She just grabbed him, turned him into a maidservant, a manju. And made him, you know, wash pots, clean clothes, do all this stuff. And he was freaking out, you know, big controller and all that. And so then they said, okay, well, you know, Purnimasi told him, okay, I'll turn you back into Kamsa. You never come back here again. Otherwise, people wonder, why didn't he go to Mathura himself? Mm-hmm. I mean, to Vrindavan himself, this is why. He already tried it once, and it didn't work out very good for him. So he went back. So that's the thing. You want to be the big controller and all that, you won't like it. And the thing is, we've been here. We see all the big control. Are they enjoying? Is everything going so fabulous? You know? Right? You know, you have the, what is it? You know, the what do you call it? POTUS. You know, the President of the United States. You know, you ever heard that term? POTUS. President of the United States.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
It's the abbreviation.
Yes, the abbreviation. So you have somebody who's running the place and all that. Everybody criticizes him. There's a new guy coming in. Technically, he's been elected, but maybe he hasn't been. And all that. Everybody criticizes him also. I mean, who doesn't get criticized? I mean, you go to England, you know, they criticize the prime minister there. They criticize everybody, you know. So big guys, everybody has something to say. So it's not like, you know, I'm going to be in this position, I'll be respected, everything will be perfect. That doesn't exist. It's an illusion. It's Maya's trick. You'll work for it. You'll never get it, but you'll work for it. You know, it's like the animal, you know, being very thirsty, then by the mirage sees water in the desert. And so it works for it. It runs for the water. You know, it never gets. So it's just, there's a reality here, and that has to be appreciated. I mean, so much of the time we say, oh, these are really harsh. These are... No, but these are reality. And if you accept them and all that, it's just, it's a fact. You know? Like if I say, you know, your fancy, you know, running shoes are a little stinky. That's the way they are. You know, you got your feet in there, you're running around and all that, and so they get a little stinky. You know, so don't bend down and stick your nose in them. You know? But, you know, to say, oh, that's so harsh, how can you say that, and this, and that. But they are, you know, so it's just, that's the way it is. You know? So, if one accepts that, then one can focus on nice things, like Krishna's pastimes and stuff like that. So we avoid, you know, the harsh realities, and at the same time as we try to create a nice material facility, and do all this through the, you know, the authorization of corporate. That it, you know, it, that, of course that's what it's for. What else is it for, except for maintenance? You know, trying to make a nicest a position as possible. That's all it's for.
It's like a tradition.
Like governance, that's for protecting the people. Brahminical is for educating the people. Corporate is for creating nice facilities and position and authority. And, you know, the false ego that goes along with it. It's very obvious. It's very direct. You can't say, oh, no, but it's different. No, it's just the way it is.
So, Maharaj, can we say that in the Vedic system, when a person goes to a vanaprastha, he needs to face the real reality.
Yes.
Before it is... reality adjusted.
Yes, means it's reality. Yes, it's the reality that you're trying to nicely engage in Krishna's service.
Yes.
But then that's the whole point of vanaprasthas, and you know the passions are less and this and that. If you've been cultivating the philosophy, you've been cultivating the practices and the association, then at that age it's easier to see.
Yes.
You know, but one has to be very, very careful. Like that, one has to be careful. So that's what it's for, is that you've been through it and all that. That's why you apply, you know what grihastha life is, you know how to apply yourself there. But you see, sometimes see people are being so-called renounced,
yes,
you know, as grihasthas, and then when the grihastha time is up, then they, you know, then they're freaking out. Like I've seen kids when they're small, the little you know, the little children like that, then they're all, no, they're busy, you know, temple, this, that, and all these things. Then when they grow up and it's time to move on, oh, hey, you know, I never had any time and all that. No, I got to spend some time. And it's like you see it over and over and over again. So it's like, no, that's your time, you know, conception to 5 years old. That's your time. Go for it. No, no, no. Oh, no, no. There are always ideas, I'm in control, and whenever I want, it'll be there. And then when it goes on and the kids move on, then it's kind of like, what happened, you know? I'm cheated, you know? I didn't get, I'm unsatisfied. Yeah. Deal with it properly. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the things. That's what you do. You do these things. And so they're meant. There's a time for everything, just like the child. There's a time for it to walk. If it starts walking, then very easily it learns. But if it somehow or another doesn't, then later on, it's very hard to learn. You know, they had kids, something happens, there's an accident or something, and so then they don't start to walk at the normal time. And so after it's all over and finished and that, and then it's some year or two later, then they try to, it's really a trip. So that's the whole thing. There's a time for everything. Do it then. It's so much easier to figure out the grihastha life, you know, has obstacles during grihastha life. But if you during vanaprastha time, then you're trying to, you know, make it all happen. It'll just be more illusion.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Now, if it just continues through, that's the whole point. Is the vanaprastha, can husband and wife are together. You know, we generally take a vanaprastha, put on saffron, go out there, this, that. You know, because these guys are just trying to get as close to sannyas as possible. You know, the position and the prestige and this and that. No, the point is if it's favorable, why wouldn't the husband and wife go out? right? Because they both have to learn. So therefore, the kids are grown up, they have their families, and so they're sometimes with them. And Prabhupada mentions, then they go out for some months. Go out preaching, go to holy places, do something, then come back, spend a little time, go out again. That's vanaprastha. You know, and in the meantime, they preach more, their sadhanas more, they can cultivate others. And so it's just natural. So that's that. The point is we have to appreciate that the jiva, this is its natural position, to be practicing self-realization. That's why the Vedic culture is all about this. That's why Prabhu mentioned all of the cultures, but the Vedic, it means they have the aspect of being religious and this and that. And like, you can become a monk or things like that, and that's fine. But, you know, it wouldn't be generally necessarily a first choice. You know, if somebody does it, it's all right, but it's not necessarily, yeah. You know, so, okay, in the son, family, one son, you know, I think it's one goes to the army, one becomes a priest like this. You know, that, you know, if you go way back, you know,
yes,
1,000 or more years, then that was kind of the standard. You know, and then the other ones, they stayed at home and did all that kind of stuff like that. And so then, but it's not that it's something for everybody. So the Vedic is everybody can be involved in spiritual realization. But in the modern, it's that kind of level. You have to be, you know, a priest or a monk or something. But in the Vedic, no, everybody can do it. And it fits in with their family. Fits in with their position, their mentality, according to their age. So it's a very, very, you know, well thought out system. That's the point. So then it's just a matter of how do we appreciate that? That's because that's the nature of the soul. So the Vedic culture, it's the actual normal thing. It's dealing with the nature of the soul. You know, it's just like, let's say, I take my dog and dress it up, let's say, as a snowman. Like that. And try to deal everything as it's a snowman. But the dog will never be satisfied. You know? And so the whole point is, you deal with the dog as a dog, then it's satisfied. So the point is that the soul is there. You deal with the soul as its actual nature, it'll be satisfied. If we always just cultivate the external form, how can we be satisfied? We can't be satisfied. So that's why it's different. All the other ones are part of the material scene. But some of them are more favorable to coming to proper spiritual life. Right? But at the same time, is because much of the time they're, how they're practiced in that, they're conceived of by, on the material platform. You know, you can say, no, but realized souls and all that. Yes, that stopped around, where is it, Moses, or even up to Jesus. Okay, then after that, where does the ritual come from? Where did it come from? The other ones, they're there in practice and they're in the Torah and stuff like that. Where does it come from? You know, they'll take some of the teachings and do something around that and try to connect it, and that way they do science and you regulate the life and become more God conscious, and it's great. But we have to understand is ultimately then it may not have as strong a position as would be ideal. But the main point is become God conscious. So if you're becoming God conscious, then any position is fine. But understand that's what makes it fine. Not, oh, it's natural to, you know, want all these things and all. It's natural for a conditioned soul. It's not natural for a liberated soul. So therefore, yes, as a conditioned soul, you deal with those things. But you're not a conditioned soul by nature. You're a liberated soul. So therefore, you should act in such a way with the conditioning that you connect it to Krishna, purify yourself through that medium, and then come to the transcendental platform. Then it becomes very, very nice.
One of the difficulties in choosing Shreyas as the primary means is when we choose it, because it takes longer time, we also compromise on material desires, we tolerate and focus on spheres.
So the future uncertainty is like if you don't get the spiritual...
Future uncertainty. So therefore, if you go for prayas, the future is crystal clear exactly. You know, you're going there, you're going to get, you know, you're doing your things, you're going to get top marks, you're going to be a topper in there, you're going to go in. In fact, they're going to roll out a red carpet when you walk into IIT. Clapping on both sides, you know, flowers falling from the sky, ticker tape, you know, it's going to be in the paper's front page. Big, you know, letters and that, you know, all other things, even Modi's down on the next page. You're right there and all that. And you're just going to go through, you know, like this. You're going to be recognized. You're going to be like this. International corporations are going to call you up. You'll be making millions every year, and you have your own private jet flying around. And fly. You don't even have to fly to the airport. You fly straight into your house. It's so fabulous. Like this and that. And, you know, the wife and the family, it's all fabulous. Isn't this what's going to happen? Then what are you talking about? Oh, that's the future we don't know, and the Shreyas you also don't know. How many people, you know, let's say, how many people in India want to be a Crorepati?
Everybody.
How many people are?
Maybe 1%.
Yeah, okay. Now, of those few Crorepatis, how many want to be, you know, even bigger than that? You know, how many are? So then where does this faith that no, the material is so stable and steady and perfect and everything like that, that it's an illusion. Yes, it's what you're used to, fine. It's the area that you're comfortable in, fine. You want to work with that area, fine. But see it in context of Krishna. How Krishna says what you're supposed to do with your money and family and time and this and that, and connect it all to Krishna. You know, but it has to go somewhere. You know, okay. Let us say you want to make so much money. You invest all your money, every last paisa. Can you enjoy your money? No. Okay. Now, if we enjoy your money, can we invest very much? No. But our idea is no. I'll do full investment. Not one paisa is not invested. At the same time, I'll have crores left that I can just enjoy. So that's the whole thing. It's an illusion. This whole thing is no. I want the full material package, but at the same time, I want to be recognized as a great advanced devotee and everything like that. And I'm no different than anybody else. You know, who do these brahmacharis and sannyasis think they are? You know, like that, as I'm just as good as them. You know, in fact, I joined before them, and this and that, and I made this one and this one and this one a devotee, and it's an illusion. Just straight up front illusion. So the point is, yes, you want to deal in that field. That's why grihasthashram's there. In the Vedic culture, majority of people are grihastha, or have been a grihastha. Even the vanaprastha, they've been. The brahmacharis are going to be, and a few are not. And so in grihasthashram they have those things. But like, you know, it's just, they have all the facilities. But the point is they connect them to the Lord. You want to eat nice, offer to Krishna. You want to live in that, offer, it's all for Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. It's connected to Krishna, and you know where you're going. So you start where you are, and move forward, like Kardama Muni. He was a brahmachari. He was a good brahmachari. You got to acknowledge he was a good brahmachari and good devotee, because Lord Vishnu himself personally came and had a discussion with him about his future of his life. Right? And but he was saying is that, I, you know, there's some material attachment and all this, and so I see is better get rid of it now, while, you know, while I can, so it doesn't bother me later. And so therefore then it was arranged, and after this meeting with Lord Vishnu, then Swayambhuva Manu comes there with his daughter. You know, and then they're married, and then, you know, he makes nice arrangements, and because she's a princess, he takes care of her, makes a palace for her and everything like that. It's within his means. You know, he's Prajapati, he's not, you know, just anybody. And that, but you see, as soon as the son is old enough and will take care of the mother, he's gone. He's out the door in the same shloka. Literally. You know, what's his name? Kapila Muni says, I'll take care of my mother. He's gone in that shloka. And you never hear of him again. Because that was his goal. So the whole point is now, did Kardama Muni, was he doing okay as a grihastha? Did he have a place to stay? Right? Did he have wife? Did he have children? Right? Did he have some, prestige or this or that? He did okay.
Envied by even the demigods.
Yeah, even the demigods are envious of this guy. What facilities he has. So we get fancy, somebody gets a big airplane and it's got the big kind of things and the big huge seats and this and that. He's got gardens and ponds and animals, deer walking around and peacocks and all this in his gardens and in his flying airplane. And he doesn't have to hire any pilots, right? just by his desire, it goes wherever he wants. Like that. Don't have to refill, don't have to pay airport tax, don't have to go through immigration, nothing.
Mechanical failures.
Yeah, no mechanical failures, nothing. You don't even need parachutes, right? So it's good. Yeah, so he did okay, but he followed the Vedic process. The point is you're only going to get as good as you're going to get. We have this idea that no, I can get more if I work hard. It's an illusion. You know what I'm saying? These super rich people don't work 16 hours a day. They don't. So how do they have that money? That's the karma. So whatever you deserve, you'll get. You can say, but I'm worshipping Krishna, I should get more. How do you know you're not getting more than what you should get? You already may be getting more. And besides that, is that why you're worshipping Krishna, to get more? No. You want pure devotion? Then stop talking about, where's all my facility? You know what I'm saying? So Krishna's accommodating. He's a grihastha, he shows how to live. Brahmahorta comes, he gets up. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, it seems that in order to become Krishna conscious, it's very important to know the nature of Maya.
Yes.
And to not to be bewildered by the magical thing that she's doing.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's really inconceivable what he's doing.
Maya's the best. She knows exactly how to make everything. So that's the point, is we don't get bewildered. Why? Because we're thinking of Krishna. So even though she's greater than us, she's not greater than Krishna. So if you think of Krishna, then she's in control. Probably gives the example. You come to some house and there's a big dog there, guard dog, then you're not going to get past that guard dog. But if the owner comes out, then the owner, friends and that, then the dog's very nice. So that's the thing is Maya can bewilder Brahma and Shiva, so why can't she bewilder us? Indra's just, that's a given. Like that. And so then it's just the way it is. So that's the whole point, is that's why then Jiva Goswami is bringing out the point, is know who you are. Self-realization means knowing actually who you are, actually what Maya is, and actually what Krishna is. And then what's that relationship? Right? And then you can actually be properly engaged in Krishna's service. From whatever your position. Because Yudhishthira is a grihastha, he's a pure devotee. Narad Muni is a brahmachari, he's a pure devotee. So pure devotional service is not dependent upon your situation. It's consciousness. That's what you're paying in. As Prabhu said before, no one wants to pay. It's in consciousness. Because Krishna is the supreme consciousness, we're consciousness. So what do you have to deal with? Consciousness. This other stuff is not even ours. We claim it's ours, but if it is, then you should take it with you, right? You can imagine this. all the guys are there, and like, you know, the guy's about to die, the old man, and that, and he's wealthy, everything's there, and they're all thinking, you know, okay, he made all everything, the will, everything, and who gets what, and not that, and you know, they're all there standing there because they're trying to be nice, that he'll be nice to them, because they doesn't, they're really worried that, you know, if they do something wrong, he'll take it all with them, right? And so there they are, you know, on the second floor of the house, you know, in his big bedroom, you know, those bay windows and that, and all the curtains are kind of half closed, so it's not too bright, and they're all there, and you know, all the pillars and that, and then the moment comes and he leaves, and then everybody, it falls down to the ground, because now the house is gone, all the money's gone, all the cars are gone, and everything like that, you know? It's because he's like, oh man, he took it with him and all that, you know? Yeah. And then, you know. You know, and then they notice over there, and then so said, oh no, he left the fiat, you know? Who got the fiat? You know, so like that, it doesn't happen. You have all this, and you say it's mine, and then you're gone. That's the point of Aila Gita in the 11th canto. Bhumi Devi saying, everybody says, I'm the Lord, I'm the this. They march back and forth with their armies, and then they're dead, and she's still sitting there. You know, that's the whole thing. Once you're dead, what does it matter? Who cares? So, yeah. So that's the whole point, is that we get it down to, now we've dealt with what's the position of the Lord and all. Because if you don't know the Lord, you won't know yourself. So he's established the position of the Lord. Now, Paramatma, as the Lord of all the energies, that he's the one dealing with. Because before it was, no, the creation, this, he's transcendental and all. Or he's not, or this. You establish that. Now all these energies he's in control of. And so the jiva is one of them. So he's in control of Brahma, he's in control of Shiva, he's in control of the living entities. Yeah? Something? No? Thus the jiva is a self-revealer and a conscious giver. Each jiva has an individual form which is small, anu. And this form is different from other jivas. The individuality is substantiated by the fact that either in the pure or in the conditioned state, each jiva identifies himself as a performer of specific actions which are unique and different from actions of other jivas, right? So everybody wants to be unique. That's the fun part, is this talk about wanting to fit in and be the same and be part of the scene and the community. At the same time, everybody wants to be unique.
Yeah.
Right? So that means is then you have to be unique within the context of a particular purview. You accept a certain social status, then within that status you want to be unique. Right? So the idea is then why not take that social environment to be Krishna's and what Krishna says, and then within that you be unique. You know, but if we take it, no, I'll have my own idea, the philosophy and the culture and this and that, then you'll end up on your own. You're not part of the traditional culture, you're not part of anything that's going on now.
This actually destroys the Mayavadi theory of reflection. Because if reflected,
right,
doing all different things,
how is it reflected?
Because it should be all exactly the same. Because they take a sun reflected
in the pot, and it's all the same. Yeah, so we're all the sun.
So practically we see it doesn't even work here. So how is it going to work
there
anywhere?
Well, that's a very good point. Yeah, because if the reflection's there, everybody would be the same. But don't worry, corporate is working on that to get everybody to be the same, right? You know? Like that. The guys in charge, okay, they can be unique, but everybody else has to be the same. Easier to manage.
Well, Chinese are the best Maoists.
Yeah,
successful in that.
Yeah, right.
They had one set of clothes for everybody. That was a time.
Yeah, no, that's so far out, isn't it? You know, if you were bigger or smaller, it didn't matter. You wore the same. If it's too big, roll up the sleeves. You know, that's it. Oh, boy. That's so crazy, isn't it? Yeah, so. Though the jiva is anu, or small by nature, it can spread its influence throughout the body. Just like a flower spreads fragrance around it, or a sandalwood applied on one part of the body spreads its influence on the whole body. Right? So you put it on your head, the sandalwood, but it affects the whole body. Right? Because the jiva possesses qualities such as giver of consciousness, knower, and doer of actions, he can spread influence despite of being small and localized. Right? The jiva is also a doer of actions and the enjoyer of bliss.
Is the jiva, how is the jiva is a giver of consciousness?
Because he puts his awareness into the body. Means our consciousness is coming from Krishna,
yes,
but we have a little bit, and so then we can spread that where we like.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because the living entity sees we're looking at, we're taking, and now we're looking in detail at the jiva.
Yes, yes.
Like that.
Yes, yes.
So he's also a doer of actions, enjoyer of bliss. But the point is the doer of actions means, but the actions are not his, and the enjoyment is not ultimately his. He will enjoy because of his connection to Krishna. Krishna being part and parcel of Krishna, Krishna's happy, you're happy. You know, the actions you're doing are actions that are controlled by the internal potency or the external potency. Within that, we choose and we do activities. You can say, no, I have to be free, you know, I do my own thing and all that. It's like, who's doing that? Then go out into the jungle.
Yes.
You know? But the point is, you're in the city. No, I want to go to this restaurant. But the point is, you didn't create the restaurant. The restaurant's there. You want to go out for dinner? So how many places are there? You want to eat a particular food? There's only certain restaurants. It's not that you can go into any restaurant you like and order anything you like because you feel like it. You know, you go into the fancy French place and order a burger. It's not going to happen. You know? Like that. Or you go into, you know, the burger place and then start speaking in French what you want. You know, it's not going to happen. You know? So the whole point is the situations are already created, but we think, no, I want to make the choice. But that's the point. You always have the choice. You know, serve Krishna, not serve Krishna, as you like. Not serve, then the arrangement is made here. Serve, the arrangement is made there. So there's a false idea of identity, of how we're the controller and enjoyer. You know? So because we don't actually know ourselves. Yeah. Because you have to, means the main point is we're servants of Krishna. That's the, we're eternal parts and parcels of Krishna. We're eternal servants of Krishna. We understand that, we actually know the core point. Details after that are there. They go from there. Right? In conditioned state, the initiative to act takes place because of predominance of upadis, and thus the prakriti, or the quality of upadi, is said to be the doer. Right? So in the conditioned state, then there's identities, and because of that, we do an activity. If you don't identify with it, you don't do that activity. So therefore, prakriti is actually the doer here. Hence the conditions, jiva performs actions through the body's senses, right? But the sense, the body and the senses are part of material energy. In liberated state, in a liberated state, however, or... Or in the liberated, it's not a, there's not a few of them, right? or in a state of liberation. No, liberated state's good. However, the initiative to act takes place because of the predominance of Paramatma, and thus the pure jiva is said to be the doer and not the upadis. Right? So when you're doing devotional service, then the living entity is said to be the doer. Because there's no upadis. Yes. He's just working with the Lord's energy, and he's made his decision to work in that way. Then he's the doer. But if he identifies with it by the external, by the conditioning, then material energy is the doer. Yes. So he's actually only the doer or the enjoyer in the liberated state. In the conditioned state, he's not the controller and enjoyer, though he definitely wants to be, claims to be.
Yes. It's only when there is a cooperation Yes. When we cooperate with the Lord, then we can feel or realize that we are like a doer, we are acting.
Yes, yes.
And taking and having a bliss. You know,
yes, yes. Yes, very also, much bliss, yes.
Also, it's a paradox that we think in a conditioned state we have the freedom and enjoyment, and when we practice devotional service, we are losing it.
Yes, yes. We're losing the conditioned illusion of being controlled by the material energy, but because we want to be the controller and enjoyer, she's offering that that's what you are. And so then when we go through those stages, we think we're doing it.
Yes.
When in actuality, liberated state, you're not controlled by Maya, then you actually are doing things connected to Krishna because you're using his energy properly for his satisfaction. So it's the Jnana Shakti. It always makes everything backwards. And we're so used to it that we don't have... That's why we have to use this logic to slowly, you know, detach it. Because we'll say, no, you can enjoy... You know, money and fame and all, you know, the opulences and that and all that. So why, you know, and that's our natural position. We want to be happy. So why are we talking so strongly about, you know, material nature and, you know, and all these, you know, unsavory elements, you know, like that? Because if we don't hear that, then we don't ever doubt about us being the controller and enjoyer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the point is you're a doer and enjoyer on the spiritual platform where it's all in connection with the Lord. But when it's not, then Maya's taking care. And it's just, we say, oh, if I get this situation, I'll be happy. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the thing. Because if people are confident, then they think, I'll do this, I'll get this situation, I'll be happy. But when they try all that and nothing works, then they're just frustrated and think, I just want to be happy. You know? So that's the motive. But they think that by arranging these things, that will create the happiness. So that's why there's no happiness in the material world. There's simply attainment of what you say will make you happy, and that attainment, that's that getting rid of the pain of not having it, that's called happiness here. So in other words, a negative is there, I bring it to neutral, I call that happiness. But positive happiness means it's in context of Krishna. That's actual happiness. In the liberated state, however, the initiative to act takes place because of the predominance of Paramatma. Right? Because you're inspired because it's for the Lord. And thus the pure jiva is said to be the doer and not the upadis. Thus ultimately the jiva is the doer of actions. Also the jiva is an enjoyer because in his pure spiritual state he experiences bliss in serving the all-attractive Supreme Lord. Even though in the conditioned state he suffers because of his false identification, this suffering is temporary, for as soon as he turns towards the Lord, he regains his original pure consciousness. Thus the jiva has been explained as a knower, doer, and enjoyer. Right? So he's conscious, so he's a knower. You know, he's active, he's a doer, and the results of that, he's an enjoyer. So knower, sat, doer, chit, ananda, enjoyer. That's his nature. But on the spiritual platform, the material nature takes care of all that. She gives knowledge, she gives, you know, the body and senses and how to do things and that. So the thing is then we can bridge between the two by whatever is our position, our knowledge we use for Krishna, we do activities for Krishna, you know, we try to please Krishna with, you know, engaging the senses. And then in that way, then we take on our natural quality of knower, doer, and enjoyer. You know, and that way we become purified until then we're acting on the pure platform.
Mm-hmm.
Though the jiva possesses many outstanding qualities, he is always dependent on the Paramatma. The jiva's sarup is different from the gross and subtle bodies, though he is in contact with the upadis created by Maya. So his actual sarup, because his natural sarup is servant of Krishna. Mm-hmm. It's a detail of what particular body you have. right? That one servant. Everybody in the spiritual world are all servants. In the material world, they're not servants. The servants of the senses. Right? So that's the sarup. Then what particular kind of service, what kind of realm, what kind of taste, you know, the particular rati, the particular realm. These are details of I'm servant. So the principle is I'm servant. Because you can say, oh no, that's a lower level. Then there's a higher. No, that's the principle. That, you know, of that then Goloka, of that then Vrindavan, of that then this particular rasa, you know, this particular activities. These are more and more details. But servant, that's always there.
Yeah. We see even in Shikshastaka, which is, you know, it's a last chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu doesn't talk about all those details. It's, you know, from the fifth verse, it's just expansion of the servant. But what kind of servant? Any kind. It could be Madhurja, it could be Vatsalya, it could be Sakya.
Yes.
It matches, you know, fits all of them.
Yeah.
So he doesn't say this or that. He just brings different level of surrender.
Yeah, but he's showing that full surrender that you'll see in Braj.
Yes.
Like that, yes. But it's not, because that's the whole point. Like we see is that when in Chaitanya Charitamrita, then Lord Chaitanya is discussing about the gopis with Swarup Damodar. What's it about? Does he talk about the activities much? It's more about the mood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole thing, because the mood, that's within what you're doing. The activities are to support the mood, like we were saying in drama. Mm-hmm. Then there's a mood that'll be gotten across. Then you use specific words, specific abhinaya, you may have the particular who's saying it and the arrangements and all that. And so then that's all to support that mood.
Mm-hmm.
So we're thinking, no, if you create that, then we'll be happy. That's the material concept. There it's pleasing Krishna with that mood of devotion. Then it'll have forms that support that. So the Icha is to please Krishna, then the Jnana and Kriyas, they naturally support. If a Ladini is there, then Savit Sandini are making arrangements. So that's the position. So we're used to looking at it backwards. And if we're, you know, for us as conditioned souls, we've always looked at it backwards. Right? We had the opportunity to look at it frontwards, but we rejected that. We wanted the material facility and make the endeavor to get our own pleasure. So then we come to this side. You know, we could have taken it, yet we didn't. And so now we have the opportunity to take it the other way. Now we're being given that opportunity. Because that's the point. Since it's our natural position, then there is no such thing as eternal damnation. Because it's our natural position to serve the Lord. So, you know, there's a trouble, then you get punished for that, and then you go back and try again. Like I remember we had a Mahout. He from South India. He was very famous for his ability to train elephants and everything. So we got this new baby elephant, you know, real small. And, you know, he may have been maybe 3 years old or something, maybe five. Like, he wasn't very big. He was like about this big. And so then, and he was training him how to do things. So he had a garland, because the elephants can take a garland and garland somebody with it, you know, because their nose, they can do a lot of stuff with them. And so he would have his little short stick, you know, and he'd have the garland. And he'd hold out the garland, like that, probably the other way around, but whatever. He'd hold out the garland, and then the elephant would grab, you know, he'd hold it up, so then the elephant's going to grab it like this, because that's how you want him to hold it, right?
Yes.
That, and then put it on,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
You don't want him just, you know, swinging around or something, you know, like that. So he'll do like that. He'll hold it right there, he'll grab it like that, then he'll swing it so it goes to his mouth. And as soon as it swings towards his mouth, he whacks him on the trunk. He drops the garland.
Okay.
He picks up the garland again. He puts like that. And I watched him. He just did that for so long. And whack, until eventually, then, like 3 days later, I remember. Then he came, and then, you know, we had the procession and all that, and Baba Nanda Maharaj came out. The elephant came up, garlanded Baba Nanda Maharaj. You know? Took 3 days, but he got it. So that's the whole point, is because the elephant can do that stuff. So it's not that, oh, he's trying to eat it, and, you know, if you forget it, he's finished, he's useless. No, that's what they're supposed to do. So the jiva is supposed to serve Krishna. Even they've come to the material world, yes, but you always have the opportunity that you can take up devotional service. And if you take it up, you can purify yourself, go back to Godhead. It's just the natural thing. Being here is not the natural thing. So then, yeah.
But there is need of training.
Yes, but you have to have training. Training, yes. That's what it says. You approach the expert teacher. Like that. So Prabhupada makes that point. So we approach the acharyas and they give us the things. Otherwise, we wouldn't know any of this stuff. What's that? Though the jiva possesses many outstanding qualities, he is always dependent on the Paramatma. This jiva sarupa is different from the gross and subtle bodies, though he is in contact with the upadis created by maya. It's different. So he can either use them in maya or use them connected to Krishna, because it's all Krishna's energy. Because technically there's only spiritual energy, because it's all Brahman. But when we turn our face away from Krishna, means away from Brahman, then we see the material world. Right? Then we see... Then this we're put into this place, which is that. But it's still, it's Brahman. It's still Krishna's energy. It's inferior of Brahman, but it's still spiritual energy. Yes?
We have this with the students. Sometimes there's a confusion between the features of the Lord and the energies of the Lord. So... The Brahman technically is a feature of the Lord.
Yes.
So whatever, you know, is transforming, it's the energy of the Lord. And,
yes.
And it is an external part.
Yes.
Of the energy. It's Mahamaya. It's not the Yogamaya.
But it's Yogamaya who's transforming into Mahamaya.
Right.
And then Mahamaya is transforming into all everything we see. Because it'll start from that impersonal and go into personal. Right? Because if everything's based on Brahman, that means Brahman is unchanging and is impersonal, meaning it's generic. So therefore, the qualities of Brahman are going to be generic.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, then it becomes specific. But that's why it's the reflection, because originally it's Krishna as the person. His sarup is the form of Paramatma and the source of Paramatma and Brahman. And so the energies are personal, but then they also have the impersonal. Just as he has that impersonal feature, his energies have the impersonal feature. So the impersonal feature goes with Brahman. So he sees those ones transform.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to clarify, because it is in the questions. And some answer, then the Brahman is the energy of the Lord. Mm-hmm. But... technically, it's
no, he's not. Brahman's not an energy. He's the Lord himself.
Yes.
But the point is just as Krishna has his energies, so therefore then they expand. As he expands as Paramatma, the energies will be there, but in the form that matches Paramatma. And then as Brahman, the energies will match Brahman.
Okay.
You know, it's just like Krishna's in Vrindavan. So he's with Radharani, but when he goes to Dwarka, then he's with Rukmini. When he goes to Vaikuntha, he's with Lakshmi. He goes to Ayodhya, Sita.
Sita.
Right, so if he comes as Paramatma, then Lakshmi is also there. You know what I'm saying? So the point is, as Brahman, then the energies are there also. But because it's all impersonal and if nothing's going on. So, but based on that, that's what comes from. Just in other words, if you don't have strength, how do you get strength in the column? You know, or strength in the mountain. It has to come from somewhere. So the mountain is a specific manifestation, but it originally comes from the impersonal. Right? But that impersonal is coming from the person. Otherwise, how do you get the concept that there'll be a pillar? Why would something that's impersonal, it has no qualities and nothing that, why would there be manifestation of something with qualities? You know, it's only because of this impersonal, I mean this jnana kind of perspective that we by logic think, well, if spiritual has to be opposite of here, so therefore you take everything opposite. Here's form, there no form. Here's activity, there no activities. Here it's personal, there it's impersonal. But the point is these qualities have to come from somewhere. That's why they come from Krishna. They're based on Brahman. Because Brahman is existence. So that means then the Sandini, that's the one that transforms to make the world here that we see. Right? The activities, Samvit transforms, that's the activities we see here. And Ladini transforms, that's the so-called happiness we see here. So the point is that what we see with the senses and all that, that's based on Sandini. So that's the aspect that will be connected with Brahman. Yes?
Also, there is this aspect that in a material world, the Shakti of the Lord is called separated energy. So we also tend to see that separation. But when you go on to the transcendental level, then non-separable.
Yes.
So that's the
reason. Yes, yes.
The qualities which we perceive of the future of Brahman or Paramatma or Bhagavan is the Shakti of the Lord. But in material world, because we see separately, then the same perspective we impose on the spiritual also.
Mm.
And then there is always a confusion which is the masculine and which is the feminine aspect. And
Yes, yes. Yeah, so it's just a matter of discussing it more. Whatever you see is that people don't catch a particular point, even though you're going to the next section, they're continuous, and that means that it includes the previous one. So then you can bring it out more as a conclusion and stuff, and slowly they catch. Because these things take time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when they mention everything is Brahman, they see, you know, variety in Brahman, and the conclusion as a perverted consciousness, Brahman transforms. But we know the Brahma Parinam, we don't accept that.
Yes, yes.
Shakti Parinam.
Yes.
So we have to connect Brahman with his own Shaktis, mm-hmm. and then explain that the Brahman is manifested through his Shaktis.
Yes.
So that takes...
Yes, just like his form is manifest through his internal potency, but it's by his desire, because that's how he does everything. But he's the basis of that. That's why you see. And so even though you say... Someone may say, but he's manifest from his internal potency, and then the internal potency is also there. But you can tell the difference between him and the gopis. Mm-hmm. Right? Even though they're both manifest by the internal potency, you can tell the difference. Because he's the source of all that. So that's why they are attracted to him. You know, his energy is attractive because it comes from him. That's why we, as conditioned living energy, are enamored by his energy, because it's attractive, because he's the attractive one. Yeah. So, yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.